We're going to actually turn to God's word now, and Paula is going to come and bring us our reading. Thank you very much, Paula.
Morning, everyone. Our reading today is from Romans chapter 8, and it's verses 12 to 17, and that's on page 1134 of the Church Bibles. So Romans chapter 8, starting from verse 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, just before I invite Tim to come and bring and preach for us, we're going to just some here for Sunday school, and we'll just pray for them, and then they can go to Sunday school. So let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your love for all your people, whatever their age. Thank you, Father, that even the youngest child can know Jesus. And we pray, Father, as children in Sunday school today, they would grow to love Jesus more closely, be with their teachers as they teach, and may they have fun as they do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Brilliant. So Sunday school would like to go. If little man would like to go, he's very welcome to join, but he doesn't have to. If your son would like to go to Sunday school, it's up to him. But anyway, Tim, would you like to come and... This is Tim. I'll leave you. You can crack on.
I will crack on. Keep your Bible open in Romans chapter 8, because that's where we are going to focus today. Mike gave me free range to choose whatever I wanted to speak on. And what I've chosen to speak on is particularly relevant to you folks on the front row, all right? But it's not just for you, it's for everyone who sat behind you as well, but I do have you in mind and heart. We had a little chat just before the service started through there, and one of the things that I highlighted for those being confirmed is the prayer I'm going to pray for them later on in the service. At the heart of it, the main thing about it is I'm going to pray for them in your presence, and you're going to say a big amen. I'm going to pray that they are filled and blessed with the Holy Spirit of God, that the Holy Spirit of God leads you throughout your lives as you want to serve him and keep following Jesus. And so this passage that I've chosen to preach on is about the Spirit of God and the way that he works, encourages us, and enables us. But before going any further, I want to say one thing to those of us who are already followers, so not just those in the front row, but if you are, one thing to you if you are already a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say one thing as well to those who might be looking in from the edges who are not yet following Jesus. So I don't know who you are, all right? So I'm working on the assumption that there may well be two or three people here today or on Zoom out there listening in, and you're not quite there yet. You're interested in Jesus, but you're not quite made a decision. I got one thing to say to you as well. So for those of us who already follow Jesus, keep your Bible open. I want to share something with you, particularly from Romans chapter 8. Whether you were baptized as a baby and came to faith as a child, or became a Christian later in life, I want you to look at and I want you to own and receive chapter 8, verse 9, and some simple words in there. I want you to receive them again and hear them with your whole heart. The words are these: the Spirit of God lives in you. The Spirit of God lives in you. He doesn't visit you. He doesn't do occasional visits to you every so often to check in on you. He dwells in you. He lives in you. He's made his home in you. That is the Spirit of God, the Spirit who knows all that there is to know about God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ, who knows everything there is to know to enable you to live your life fully worshiping God, lives in you. And that is stunning and amazing. So if you look at verse 10, there are four other words there. The Bible can also say, Christ is in you. The Spirit of God is in you, which means Jesus Christ lives in you. The Holy Spirit, who carries the very power of God, the Father, the power that raised, I mean, this is astonishing, the power that raised Jesus to life again from being dead, lives in you. So the Bible can say, verse 11, the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. And I want that to land on your hearts today. If you are already a follower of Jesus, hear that again. Be refreshed by God again. God is not merely for you. He is actually in you. And I think that's very precious indeed. Now, for those who aren't yet following Jesus, perhaps thinking about Christianity and the Christian faith, this is something for you, all right? Something that God offers you. God does not offer you a religion. God does not offer you moral improvement. But he actually invites you and offers you adoption into his family. That's why verse 12 can say, if you look at verse 12, it talks about Christians being brothers and sisters. We are members together of God's family. And if you look at verse 14, it talks about, in this way, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The word there, children, actually more specifically, talking about being sons of God. And in the Roman world, sonship wasn't just gender. It was a legal status about you being an inheritor. So in the Lord Jesus, men and women alike receive full family rights as inheritors and heirs in the family of God. So if you look at verse 15, it says, the Spirit who raised, who you received, brought about your adoption as sonship or to sonship. The Spirit himself, look at verse 16, testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So if you are just looking in on Christian things and you've not yet decided, the message for you today is this. It's an invitation. Join God's family. Receive the Spirit of God. Put your faith in Jesus to have died for your sin, to have risen again, proven that he is the Son of God, the Lord of all. Receive him as your Savior and your Lord. Invite him into your life by his Holy Spirit. And today, join God's family. That's the invitation to you. So those being confirmed and Artemis being baptized and confirmed today. Today is a day about you saying, I belong to Jesus. I intend to keep on following and serving him and witnessing to him. You're saying today, that is what you're publicly saying. And the rest of us, as we witness you doing that in a moment, I find it stirring. Whenever someone's baptized, I find it stirring. You'll stand and you'll say some words from the screen, but I know from talking with you through there that you're going to mean it. And that will stir all of our hearts to say, yeah, we're with them. They've said today they want to follow Jesus. And the rest of us will say, we want to do, we're going to keep on doing that ourselves, aren't we? That's why you're here. We want to. And so we'll be saying amen to that. And for all of us today, The encouragement is that we are children in God's family. So two things about the Spirit to highlight, all right? Dig in a bit deeper into this passage in Romans chapter 8. Two things about the Spirit's work in our lives. The first thing is this. The Spirit comes in to our lives and basically the family home of God's Spirit is in his people. So it's a family home. If you look around the room, look at each other, you're looking at individuals in whom the Spirit of God lives. As a church together, the Spirit of God has made his home here. This is the home of God, the family home. The Spirit has taken up residence, now our lives as Christians are claimed by God. God lives in his new home, which is our hearts. So if you look at verse 12, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it, but to live according to the Spirit, because God now lives in our lives. So we have an obligation to God, not to the way that we used to live our lives. So when the Bible talks about the flesh, we don't have an obligation to the flesh. It's not talking about our bodies or food. It means our fallen nature, our sinful nature, our deeply ingrained bias towards sin and rebelling against God. And earlier in the book of Romans, sin is described as a master, as a ruler, as a lord, even as a king, as a tyrant who once ruled over us. He once ruled our lives. And this is saying, no, he doesn't anymore. We owe him nothing. We're not obliged to go his way. We're obliged to go the way of God's Spirit, the way of Jesus. And the reign of sin, the sinful nature, our flesh, has been broken. Jesus paid for your debt in full by his death on the cross. He's delivered you from sin's rule. And now by the Holy Spirit, he's moved into your life. All right? So here's the picture. Your life is like a house. All right? The rightful owner has returned. God the Father, God the Son, moved in by the Holy Spirit into your life. And the Spirit now lives in you. But the old master, the old landlord, the sinful nature, doesn't go quietly. He still wants to be a squatter. He has no rights, no authority, no claim. He hangs around. He whispers in our ears and in our hearts. He tempts us and he asks to be given, just give me one room in the house. Basically, he wants to take over again. He wants access. He wants access to your phone. He wants access to your screen and to your habits and to your money and to your relationships and to your mind and the way that you think about other people and the way that you think about yourself. He behaves as if you still owe him. You don't. You don't. And it's put really brutally in verse 13, if you look at that with me. For if you live according to the flesh, that is flesh, that is the old sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live. It's serious stuff. It's not casual. It's not optional. It's a matter of life or death. But we've got the Spirit of God to enable us and to empower us to do this. We must act, put to death the sinful nature, say no to the temptations that come our way. But we can only do that by the Spirit of God. There's no let go and let God, nor is there self-reliance. I've got to do this on my own, by my own moral effort. God comes in and he enables us to live this. It's a lifelong spiritual battle. And he helps us to come and to live for the Lord. Sometimes it's not very quick, the change, but we live for the Lord truly. And if I can put it this way, sin and temptation to sin is not to be managed. It's to be killed. We owe it nothing. We owe the Lord our very selves and to live for him. Let me illustrate. Many years ago, I came across a man and his family, and they all looked quite frail, and particularly his wife looked quite starved. They were in a motorbike shop, it was near a town called Doncaster. In Yorkshire, we call it Donny, Doncaster. This guy in the motorbike shop spent over £50,000 on motorbikes and motorbike gear. And I was thinking, I look at you, and I think, how can you, where do you get all that money from, all right? As it turned out, decades earlier, a long time ago, he had bought an allotment for not very much money. And over time, he quietly extended the boundary of his allotment, and no one noticed. And after a period of years, it basically became his land. Basically, he was a squatter. He was a thief, really. Years later, the council wanted that land because they wanted to do some new housing developments near Doncaster, all right? And the council realized they couldn't move him unless they bought the land. They bought it off him for around £2 million, all right? That's quite an investment, isn't it? 70 quid for an allotment turning into 2 million quid. They paid for him to leave, all right? Think of it this way. The Lord Jesus paid his life for you. All right? He's bought you back from the squatter. You owe him nothing. And by his Spirit, he has moved into your life. We don't know the old squatter anything. Your life, you yourself, become the family home of God. The Father owns you. The Son has redeemed you. The Spirit lives in you and calls you to use his strength and to rely on him to say no to the squatter. He wants to creep back in. So that's the first thing. The family home. You are lived in by the Holy Spirit of God. Secondly, the family father. It's an assurance for us as we struggle with the old squatter who wants to have influence on our lives. Verse 14, if you look at verse 14, it says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." So we're being led by the Spirit. It doesn't mean guidance about what course you do at uni or job you end up choosing. Important those things are. It's talking about that long life, the lifelong direction, living our lives as saying no to the old squatter and to temptation and to our sinful selves. That's a battle. The Spirit leads us away from that and guides us. So that's what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. It means to be led in the way of Jesus, to live in Jesus' ways, to grow more like the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk in his ways. In fact, the Bible repeatedly uses that phrase, walk in the Spirit. It's to walk in the way of Jesus. Here is the deeply reassuring truth. The very fact that we feel the struggle with our temptations and with the old sinful nature is the sign that we actually do belong to God. Many Christians think that if I was really spiritual, this wouldn't be so hard. But the Bible says the opposite. The Bible says that the battle itself is evidence of the Spirit's presence in our lives, strengthening us and leading us and enabling us to say no to temptation. And so verse 15, if you look at verse 15, says, "The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again." The Holy Spirit does not make you anxious about whether God will reject you. He doesn't drive you into fear or despair. Instead, verse 15 goes on, "Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." So the Spirit leads us to say, well, I'm struggling with this, And what I'm finding in my heart, I'm crying to the Lord, to my Father, to help me. The very battle leads us to go, no, the Father, I trust him to lead me and to enable me. Abba, Father, was the word a child used in the home back in the day. Dad. It's intimate, it's trusting, it's unguarded. It's really astonishing that we should be enabled to call God Father in this way. The distance between you and a cockroach is vast. The distance between God and you is even bigger than the distance between you and a cockroach. But the Spirit of God comes into your heart, and amazingly, you know God is your Father. Dad, it's astonishing, isn't it? I mean, if you are interested in Christianity and you're just listening in today and wondering, I mean, wow, you can move from just where you are. Perhaps you feel a bit isolated. Perhaps you feel separated or alienated from people around you. And today you could come into God's family and know the living God as your Father in heaven. And, you know, the Father, the Spirit teaches us, look at verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Deep in our hearts, especially in times of weakness, especially when we're being tempted, especially in failure, something rises up in our hearts that actually says, if we're true Christians, we actually say, I belong to the Lord. Well, I cry out to him. There's a verse in the Bible in the Psalms that said, this poor man cried out and the Lord heard him. That's what the Spirit helps us to cry. Abba, Father, help me. Or like the blind man we read about in the Gospels, he's crying out to Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. That's the word that's being used here, cry for help to the Father when we face temptation, when we're finding following Jesus difficult. Father, help me. And he does. When life breaks you, when grief comes, when failure or sin is exposed in our lives, when our hopes falter, the world often in moments like that will say, oh my God. You know, when difficult things come, oh my God. But Christians, taught by the Spirit, we say, oh my Father. My Father, and we know we're not just saying a word. We know he's hearing. And we know that he will respond to us. And this isn't natural. This is supernatural. It is the gift of God to us. And our lives become the home of God, our bodies, the temple of God's Holy Spirit. And God himself is our Father in this forever family. The section of the Bible that we've had today, it ends with breathtaking hope. In verse 17, now if we're children, then we are heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, because everything God promised to his son Jesus, he promises to you in and through Jesus. In the church that Tanya and I were in for 22, 23 years in Sheffield, with a number of families who adopted children, and number of families where there's biological children and adopted children, and just those families, the children are treated the same. There's no difference. The inheritance is the same. The love is the same. And as those children, we've seen them growing up in those families, they know in their bones, this is mum and dad. And that's what God has done for you. The Father looks at you. He's adopted you into his family. And that's what's underlined for you today as you're baptized, as you are confirmed. The Lord looks at you in the same way that he looks as Jesus. And when Jesus was baptized, the Father in heaven looked at him and a voice came from heaven and said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And you in Christ, in Jesus, the Father looks at you and he loves you and he's pleased with you. And may you never, ever forget that. There's so many things in our lives will tempt us to have a poor and a low self-esteem. People will say things to us. We'll go through difficult circumstances that claw away at our hearts. Never ever forget that God looks at you in the same way that he looks at Jesus, and he loves you. He doesn't just love you because he saved you. He loves you. And the reason why he saved you is because he set his heart to love you. And verse 17 adds, if indeed we share in his suffering, that is, provided we keep on trusting the Spirit and crying, Father, help, as we keep fighting sin, crying to our Father, and suffering, as it were, not being abandoned, but it is the suffering of beloved children on our way home to glory. So for those being confirmed today, others of us who are going to be stirred up by your confirmation of baptism, I want to say this to us all. Stand firm, kill sin, cry to your Father, trust the Spirit who lives in you, and know this, you are God's child, and nothing will ever change that. And that's wonderful. I want to just use a prayer to pray for us all, which I'm going to repeat later on when it comes to the confirmation. And it is a prayer for us all to know and to be blessed by God's Spirit. Let me pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you have given your servants new birth in baptism by water and the Spirit. You've forgiven us all our sins. May your Holy Spirit rest upon us, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and inward strength, the Spirit of knowledge and true godliness, and let our delight be in the fear of the Lord. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.